We got to the, yeah, we finished to the Mishnah, no? We just finished 12a1. Okay, Yud Beis Amid Aleph, a little bit above midway where it says Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah says like this. There were two sections in Eretz Yisrael. There's Yehuda and Galil and the other parts of Eretz Yisrael. In Yehuda, there was a custom that when a chassan and kala got married, they would let them be alone in the room for a long time. Not to have intimacy, but they would be alone in the room to get to know each other, so to speak. So the din was, if somebody eats in his father-in-law's house in Judea, where they would do yichud with the kala, okay, without witnesses. So there were no witnesses that he did not seclude himself with the kala. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. After they get married, he cannot say she's not a psula. Because there's a strong possibility he was with her when they were alone in the rooms. Why? Because he has yichud with her. And therefore it's possible he actually, the chos and the kala were together. Meaning like this. A boy in Yehuda, what it used to happen like this, the girl was at home, the boy would go visit the future in-law's house, and Yehuda had a custom, the area of Yehuda, that the boy and the girl were alone in a room for an extended period of time, just to get used to each other.
Before Chatana?
Yeah. So if there's Edom that they were not secluded together, then obviously he can say she's not a psula later, because he wasn't with her. But if there are no Edom, meaning we don't know if they were secluded together or not. We don't know if they're alone together or not. So there is a possibility that he was with her, that he lived with her, and therefore he can't come along later and say she wasn't the psula. Okay? So the Gemara says, Midigtonia Eichel. Now the Mishnah says like this. One who ate by his father-in-law. Now the fact that you say that expression means that not everybody goes to the father-in-law. Right? Because Mishnah says, if one eats by his father-in-law's house, future father-in-law. This and this is the din. Miklau, the ikaduchta bi Yehuda, that there were places in Yehuda that they did not eat in the future father-in-law's house. Meaning they weren't together. Even in Yehuda, they had different customs. In some places they were together, some places they weren't together, but wasn't, because the Gemara thought in Yehuda they're always together. That was the minhag. So Abaye says, no, from our Mishnah, the Mishnah says, if one was, meaning not all of them are, so that's fine. And the Gemara says, where do we see that? Ketanya, like it says in the Braisa, like this. Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, Bi Yehuda Barishena. Initially the custom was in Yehuda, that they would seclude before the chosin and kala went to the chuppah, they would put the chosin and kala in the same room for a while alone. That he should become familiar with her. In other words, that he should get to know each other, so to speak. But in Galil, in the Galilee, they didn't do that. It was only the custom in the area of Yehuda. And then he said, Be Yehuda, not only that, different customs of Yehuda. Be Yehuda, but Rishayna, initially the custom in Yehuda was, Mamidim Lam Shnei Shushvinin. They would set up two attendants. Echad Leiva Echad Lo. One for him, one for her. L'shamash HaSachosim V'Sakala, in order to examine with the Chosin and Kala when they were about to go into the chuppah. Okay? In other words, they would make sure that there would be like two people making sure he didn't do anything wrong and she didn't do anything wrong. Because in those days it was a very big thing, the girl should be a psula. Okay? And because the husband doesn't want to pay a ksub of a psula, which is 200, right? So what would they do? They would live together. Yeah, and then the husband would hide the cloth that showed she was a virgin. So they made an attendant to make sure he doesn't do any shtick and she doesn't do any shtick. They don't do anything that's wrong. But in Galil, they didn't do that. No, it was only in Yehuda they did it. Yehuda Berishayna, initially in Yehuda at the beginning, Not only that, the attendants would sleep in the house of the Chosin and Kala the first night. But right away the Mefarshim explained, in Golu for sure they didn't, because they didn't have any attendants. The Mishnah says, in Yehuda they had attendants, in Golu they didn't. In Yehuda the attendants slept in the room, in Golu they didn't. Really the Mishnah means in Golu they didn't even have attendants either, like we just said. And whoever did not practice this custom of, you know, everything about the guards and the shishvina, the attendants, and the yochalit in tainus psulim, can never come and say that she's not a virgin. Because if you didn't have this guards protecting, then nobody would be able to say she's not a virgin. So the Gemara says, ahai, the final statement of the Gemara, of this Braisa, says that if they didn't do it, he cannot have tainus psulim. He says, ilei ma'reisha, if you're saying it goes about the first custom that the chosin and kala were put into a room alone, mean kol shenoygmi boyle, then it should have said anyone who does practice that they're alone in the room. Then he cannot say she's not a virgin. Ela seifa must go on the end, kol shalei mushmish mi boyle. Then it should have said whoever attendant doesn't examine them to make sure whether she's a virgin or not. Okay? So the question, what does that statement go on? It really goes on the first part of the Braisa. That what? About having the Chosin Kala get to know each other. But don't read it kosher loy nohag. Read it though kosher nohag. Meaning, if there was a custom of the Chosin and Kala being alone in a room, then the Chosin cannot say she's not a psula. Because there's a possibility he was the one that did it. But Amalei Rava, but Rava said to him, "How could that be? Hokoshaloi noag liktoni." The Brisa doesn't say whoever did it. The Brisa says whoever didn't. So Abaye coming along and saying, "You know what the Brisa means? Whoever didn't." But the Brisa says whoever did. I'm sorry. Abaye says whoever did it. But Rava said, "But the Brisa doesn't say whoever did it. The Brisa said whoever didn't do it." So it doesn't make sense. Alam Rava, Rava said, "Hachi come," and this is what it means. Whoever does not practice the minig of Golul and Golul. Ela minig Yehuda begol, but they do Yehuda's custom in Golul. Meaning, some people, like we said, in Yehuda most people put the chos and kala together. In Golul they didn't. What happens if somebody in Golul did what Yehuda did? Meaning they put the chos and the kala together in a room, then he can't anyway, he can't have tainus psulim. Why? Because there's an assumption. If the Chosin and Kala were alone in a room, there's an assumption that Chosin lived with the Kala. If the Chosin lived with the Kala, then he can't say she's not a virgin. The Vashi Omar, the Vashi says, no. Leila Masef, it goes about the end of the Brais, about the attendants, making sure that nobody falls around. Utani kol shalei mushva. Don't read it, anyone who is examined. Read whoever is not examined. Meaning, whoever is not examined cannot lodge a complaint that she's not a psula. Because maybe she was. And the guy took it away, whatever. Okay, this is this Mishnah. There's not too much here. There's not even very little Rashi over here. Okay, let's do the next Mishnah. Okay, the bottom of the page. Now the Gemara is going to discuss how much is the ksuba of a girl. How much does she get? So it says like this. Achas almona Yisrael, va'achas almonas kohenim, whether it's a widow of a regular Jew or a widow of a kohen, ksubasim mona. Her ksuba is $100. Right, like we learned before in the Mishnah. A virgin, the ksuba is 200. A widow, divorcee, 100. So the Mishnah says it doesn't matter whether she's a widow of a Kohen or a widow of a Yisrael. It doesn't matter. What's a ksuba? $100. Why is the Mishnah saying it? Because of the next din. He says, Bezdin shel Kohanim, there used to be a Bezdin of Kohanim, okay? would collect lepsula arba meyazuz. They said like this: if a virgin was the daughter of a kohen, huh? Double. They made it double. If a daughter of a kohen is special, 400.
What's the specialty?
Bas kohen. Bas kohen is a special person.
Because of Zera Kohan? Zera Aharon? Huh? Just stand because Zera Aharon?
Well, according to Rashi, by the way, Rashi says, definitely when she married a Yisroel. Rashi says, V'kol shekein k'shenisus Yisroel.
That's when she becomes important or he becomes important?
No, because she's an important girl. As a bas kohen, so these kohenim said, our girls are worth double the what the regular girls are worth. So even if she married a kohen, they said she gets, a psula would get 400. And definitely if she married a Yisrael, for sure she should get 400. Because she's going down, you know, in a level. Marrying the peasants instead of the prominent people. And what the Gemara's interesting thing, v'leimichu b'yadam chacham, the chacham did not protest it.
But the bedin made of kohanim, no?
That was a bedin made up of kohanim.
No. So they were no gebed up.
Yeah, but what's interesting, the chacham didn't protest it. Why? Because there's something called Taisis Ksuba. You can add to the Ksuba. Right? So because you add to a Ksuba, so they wanted to make it 400. They made it 400. Listen, by the Sfardim, they had this until recently. They would make a Ksuba $1 million, no?
But no, that not all the Ksubas.
No. So.
But how about this one? No, this is just a general one.
For Bas Kohen.
Oh, so that's been all the Bas Kohanim, regardless, they're going to get 400.
Right.
But it's not as far as Tosfot.
No, but the Mefarshim explained, this is told, it's called Tesis Ksuba. In other words, the Court of Kohanim established the standard Ksuba 400. Okay? Because what the Chachamim, why didn't the Chachamim protest it? They said, okay, it's $200 regular, plus another $200 additional. So we're not going to stop it. Because there is a concept called additional ksuba, right? The Kohenim wanted to make the basic ksuba. Chacham didn't protest it because he said, you know what, let them think what they want.
That's a lot of money.
We're considering, huh?
That's a lot of money. $30,000 versus $60,000.
That's
$30,000.
By the way, he brings out over here, Vinshita Mekubetsis, these courts in the city of the Kohanim were composed of 23 judges. What's the time of Bezdin of three? It was a Bezdin of the Kohanim cities of 23 that was capable of giving capital punishment. So it was not like you were a chosh of a Bezdin. It was a prominent Bezdin, and they gave, as they said, this is what the Ksub is. Huh?
Yes.
Kohanim are temper. Kohanim have, you know, different.
And they're women?
No, I'm Kohanim men.
In Iran, I remember, my city, they used to say they don't get married with the Kohanim, bad Kohanim, because maybe you're going to mezalzel the kavod of them. Because they get angry, you're going to say something, it's not the kavod.
Wait a minute.
So they had a special respect for the bad Kohanim.
If you get angry at the bad Kohan?
Because he, yeah, it's not covered.
I thought it's the other way around. I thought the
listen, the Bas Kohen is allowed to become Tamei. She doesn't have the same Kedusha as a Kohen.
No, the men could not get married to Israel.
No, it says a Bas Kohen, if she marries an Amma'odit, is not a good Zivug. So therefore, even today, there's a minig that they learn a Masechta, even a little Masechta. Masechta Kala, even the small, tiny Masechta. If a boy who's not a Kohen marries a Bas Kohen, so we have a minig, the Rebbe told us always to people, if a non-Kohen is marrying a Bas Kohen, he should learn a Masechta. Because then he's not Amoritz anymore. But the Rebbe writes even the small ones, not even Shas, a Masechta Kala, you know, in the back of certain Gemaras, they have Masechta.
What is the logic?
But it shouldn't be on a modest. The Gemara says in Tzachim.
What's Amma'arts?
Illiterate.
So if a non, if a non is a non Kohen marries a Bas Kohen, he has to learn a Masechta.
Right, that he shouldn't be considered illiterate. That's the minhag today, even today.
In the Chabad world.
That's the world. I don't get it.
That minhag in Iran, that was a big thing. That
not to marry a Bas Kohen.
Well, I thought
because
not.
Because as a respect to them, maybe one of them is after they're covered.
You get angry at your wife, you can't get angry.
Why
you
learn one Masechet in order to marry to the Bas Kohen? Because they have some. You know.
There's a chashiva, so you become because the word says amar, but not by marrying them you're going to be mezalzel in the covenant.
No, you cannot mezalzel them. You mean you cannot get angry at them.
I understand that.
You get angry, that's it.
You can't get angry at anybody.
Especially them.
You get 400 zuz.
Okay. Now, so the beginning of the Mishnah said that a regular almana ksuba, whether it's a Kohen Almana or Yisrael Almana, is 100. Then the Mishnah said the Kohenim, you know, made this best. But the Gemara said an interesting thing. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Almanas Kohenim, Ksubasim Asayim. Mendel, you took it? I put this thing under your hat. It says the Almana of a Kohen, the Ksub is 200. Not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, a widow, whether Kohen or not Kohen, it's 100. In the Brayse it says, Toner Amanu Kohenim Ksubasim Masayim, 200. So right away the Gemara asks, V'anan Tran, we just learned in our Mishnah, Achas Amanu Yisrael, V'achas Amanu Kohenim Ksubasim Masayim, it's only 100, how could you say it's 200?
The writer can contradict Mishnah or not?
Yeah, but the Gemara is asking, both are Tanoim, so the Gemara says, well, the Gemara is trying to understand, what does it mean? Which one's right?
What is
I understand, but sometimes if you can answer, like the one's going to answer now. Shtei takonis hayu. There was two takonis. Meaning like this. Mikara tekinu, initially, they made a takona like this. Lepsula arba meyazuz ola monazuz. Okay? For a Kayan's daughter, this is what they made up initially. For Bas Kayan, the virgin is 400, the widow is 100. Okay? Now, Kivin the Chazir the Kamizal Zilabu, when the Kohen saw that the people were treating the widows lightly, because like this, a Kohen Psula, right, Bas Kohen Psula, gets 400. That means double of what the regular one gets. And a widow of a Kohen gets like everybody else gets. Right? So they're saying, oh, so the widows are not worth anything, only the Besula Koyanim are worth something, not the. So what did they do? Tekinulu Masayim. They made a double. In other words, like this. They made a cheshman like this. If by a regular person, the ksub is 200, and a widow is 100, so that means a widow is worth half of what a virgin is worth. Okay, that's by regular people. What did they initially have by Koyanim? Psula 400, and Almana 100. Which means only a quarter. Only a quarter. So he said, what's a widow of a Kohen? Nothing. So he said, you know what? We're going to make it half also. So we're going to make it 400 and 200, just like everybody else is 200 and 100. Now, Kivin the Chazir, the Parsha Minayel, but what happened? Now that the widow of a Kohen's Ksuba moved up, so nobody wanted to marry them.
What is moved up?
It went up from 100 to 200. So a guy says, why should I marry a Kohen's widow that I have to pay 200? I might as well marry a regular widow, it's cheaper. It's only 100.
Well, everybody
he said, that meaning, no, he said not only that. Because a Kohen's widow, the Gemara is going to say right now, is the same price as a virgin of a Yisrael. So he says, why should I marry a widow used goods? Of a Kohen, I can marry new stuff from Yisrael for the same price.
No, Yisrael was 200.
Right, and the Ksuba of Amana Bas Kohen, they also made it 200.
So they're the same.
So he said, why should I marry a now widow? I can marry a Psula for the same price.
Nobody would marry Amana Bas Kohen, yeah.
Okay. In other words, first they made Amana 100 everybody, right? So then people say, why do I need what's she's not worth anything. She's not better than anybody else. Right? So the Chum said, you know what? Yeah, we have to make Alman of a Kayan 200. Right? Half of the virgin. So then the people said, 1 minute, why should I marry an Alman? Used goods for 200, I can marry a new stuff for 200. A psula for 200. So what happened? The Amanit people say, Adinasvin and Alman of Kayanim, for the same price that I'm marrying a widow of a Kayan of 200, Nezel and Nezel, psula bas Yisrael. Let me marry a virgin of an Ankayan. Right? For the same price. So therefore, Adrinal and Milsad, they went back to the way it was originally. The meal 100, yeah.
They all had in mind that they're going to get a divorce.
So therefore, it's not a contradiction. The Gemara's question was, the Braises said, Amon of a Kayan was 200. Yeah? So the Gemara's, but our Mishnah says 100. So the Gemara says, yeah, at one time it was 200. No, first it was 100, became 200. That's when the Braises says 200. But then Amish just talk about the final thing, that it was back down to 100.
Everybody had the intention of getting a divorce. I thought they didn't used to get divorced so much. Why people would base their marriage on the Kesuvah?
Because that was definitely, the people died young. There was an estate issue. People traveled. They had a lot of wives. You know, they couldn't afford it.
Oh, so it wasn't only the divorce issue.
Right.
Almana has the same dini as Gerusha?
Yeah. Same ksuba? Yeah.
So when
the only difference is Gerusha cannot marry a kohen and Almana could.
But the laws, when Gemara talks about Almana, it's equal to Gerusha usually.
Yeah, yeah. Amon is just, the ksuba is exactly the same because they were lived with already, the napsula. But Amon, you know, Gerusha, you start thinking, whose fault was it? Amon, it's unless she killed her husband. Unless the woman killed her husband, she becomes an Amon.
But she still has attachment to the husband, and Gerusha is created.
Yeah, but Amon also, once she remarries.
No, before. I mean, no.
Good, but I'm saying once she remarries, though, especially if she has children from the second husband, it goes by that she's connected to the second husband only.
But Gerusha has a sefer kriyutot that the Torah says.
Yeah, but they're still connected, you know. The Tesis explains, we'll see the Tesis soon, but Tesis explains, what do you mean they're mezalzel in the Bas Kayan? So Rashi says what it means is, we'll see in Tesis, Rashi says what it means is, they didn't hesitate to divorce him because it was a cheap price. Right? So Tesis says, but every Amman is like that, at the $100, so why is Bas Kayan doing it? He knew when he was marrying her what it was. It's not any different than any other Amman. So Taisa says what we explained before, that they said like this, a psul is 400, Almana is 100. So she's only a quarter worth. He's only worth a quarter of what, and by a regular Almana is half. You know, so you see, that makes a person cheap. You're only worth a quarter of what you used to be worth, versus a half of what you used to be worth. So Chama said people were mezalzel. Not, Rashi learns they would divorce, we'll see in Rashi. They would divorce them easier because it was a cheaper ksuba. It was half price. Okay, let's see Rashi over here. Turn back a second. okay, two lines in the end of the page in Rashi. Aman is kayanim. Aman is bas kayin. Aman is a bas kayin. Hoye gavin the psula bas kayin. Kshenisus the kayin. If a bas kayin married a kayin. Or Rashi's kol shekain kshenisus, you saw definitely if she married a Jew, they would collect $400. So the Gemara asks, but our Mishnah says, how come it say in the Braisa, ksul an almana is a ksuber 200 when our Braisa says 100. So it says, the Gemara says there are two takonas for almana bas kayin. The mezuzah lebe, they would make her cheap. Why? He says like this. The Balmona's kalas beineim leitziim. By Almona, it was very easy to divorce them. Why? Neshek suvasim muetis. It was a very little ksuba, $100 wasn't a lot. The kinuli mason, the gnai hoyulahen, it would be cheap. But he said, alpha pisha monis is so namik subasimona. So Rashi asks, but every almon is 100, why is it baskoyan different? Right? The Gemara said they're gonna make baskoyanim cheap because they're only 100. Right? But Rashi, but every almon is 100. Why, what's special about baskoyan? He says, because they're Shiva Tvei, because there were more prominent people, Gnailem Gerusha B'nei Seim Yesim Yisrael. So Bashi says an interesting concept. The Kohenim were very prominent people. So when their daughters got divorced, it was a bigger blemish on the family than a regular divorce.
As a result, then it has to be 100?
So therefore they made it 200.
100?
No, initially it was 100, and then people were divorcing them very easily, so they made it 200, right? Mm-hmm. But Salman and Gurusha, we said it's the same thing.
What does it have to be the family, that it's to the family they are?
Because Rashi asks, if every Almanic sub is 100, so what's the problem if a Bas Kohen is 100? Mm-hmm. What's the problem? Right? Why should it be a Gnai?
Okay.
Why should it be Mezalzel? So Rashi says, it's not the question of Mezalda, it's just, it's a bigger blemish for a Bas Kohen to get divorced than a Bas Yisro.
For the family.
For the family.
So they did it like this, so people cannot divorce, but they're going to stay Gerusha always, or Almana, as a result.
Yeah, that was the problem. The Chum wanted them to get remarried. Okay, just look at the top tesis on your base and mid base. Kivin the chazed the mezalzel abu, there would be start being mezalzel with the bas kohen. So tesis says like this: Pirish Bekuntas Rashi Lez says, "Shayukalis beinam leitzion." It was very easy to divorce them. Fishayik subasim muatis, because it was a very small amount of iksub, only 100. The kasha. So he really asks Rashi's question: "The mikar nami have a yad of shakalis beinam leitzion." So what, they knew that at the beginning, before they even married. So he said, "Venira l'ri lefarish the mezalzel." But what does it mean, mezalzel? Not that it was easier for them to divorce. She makes it b'nei adam hoya nimnar milaneisim. They wouldn't marry an almon of a bas kohen because she was only a quarter of the value of a psula. The fee show you call his name Shane Luxuba the via Mimasha Yeshla Psula. It was only a quarter. A regular widow, they're not gonna divorce because it's half of what a psula is. But if a psula of a Kayan gets 400 and she gets 100, it's only a quarter. So it's much worse. Kivin the chazal the Prishamina Lagamri. Because so what happened, they would see that the Kohenim people were not married, the Kohenim widows. For Yekevsim Kohenim Apsulas Yisrael. Everybody would rather marry a Psul of Yisrael. For Yeshum Adam Kevet Aleim. And no guy wanted to marry a widow of a Kohen. Because she was only like worth a quarter of what she was initially. Hadrinu Lamalayo, I know, Dunokim Ikar Mizalzal, Shayinim Noim, Legam and Pashin. And therefore, they would stay, reestablish it again. To be 100.
They would reduce the 400 to 200, we wouldn't have to deal with all these things. It would be simple. We'd go back to the original, the 200, then we wouldn't have...
No, but for that money, we'll go back to one, back to 100.
Okay then, but the regular one is 200 also, finish.
Yeah, but that was absurd. You got better goods.
But the Torah says 200. So let's keep it that way.
No, we didn't say that. Taisa said before, Ksub is really midrabanan.
Okay, let's keep it the way it was. Then they don't have to go, but nobody's going to get hurt here in the middle of these things.
but they were getting hurt because nobody wanted to marry them if they could marry a psula for the same price.
No, I'm saying make the bas kohen psula 200 also.
No,
just
they
make
said,
it like everybody else.
No, they said, what are you talking about? We're better goods. Where, you know.
Yeah, I understand that now. I understand. Now I really understand it.
Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. Fourth line of the Gemara. Bezdin Shulkayanim. Amr of Yudam Mishmul. Yeah. It doesn't only mean a bezdin of koyanim, you know, made their ksuba 400. Afilim mishpachas hamiyuchasad biyisrael, prominent Jewish families. If they want to do the way the koyanim did, in other words, Rav Yudam Shmuel says, not only a bezdin of koyanim were able to make it 400, Yehan the Chacham didn't stop it. He says any prominent family that wants to do it 400 has a right to do it 400.
Prenuptial agreement. This is all prenuptial agreement.
No, right? No, not prenuptial. This is the ksuba itself made 400.
Okay, I mean, on the ksuba they write down how much, you know.
It's not a prenuptial. Ksuba is not a prenuptial.
But they are making it sound like, because before marriage,
no, they said
you are worth more. That's what the nowadays people they say. They say, you know, my girl is like this.
No, the prenuptial. It depends which prenuptial you're talking about. This is not a prenuptial. This is a ksuba. How much does it say in the ksuba? Does it say 200 or does it say 400? Normally a psula is 200. And the Mishnah said the Kayanim made it 400 because they were better people. He said any family that wants to make it, they think they're prominent for choshuva, you know, families, they have a right to make it 400. The Gemara is going to ask a question because in the Brayse it says he can't. Meitzvei, I'll ask you a question. It says, if somebody wants to do what the Kayanim did, right? Kugain. Bas Yisrael lo Kayan. Ubas Kayan li Yisrael. For instance, the daughter of a non-Kayan, a Bas Yisrael marries a Kayan. Or a Kayan marries a non-Kayan. Aysin, they could do it. But only Kayanim. Bas Yisrael lo Kayan. Ubas Kayan li Yisrael. Who the Ikatzat Kuna? Then you could do it more, because what is the Braisa saying? That if a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen marries a Bas Yisrael, you can make the Ksuba 400. Because at least one of them are a Kohenim. Which implies if none of them are Kohenim, then you can't make it more money. The Braisa seems to imply that when can you make it more if one of the two kids are Kohenim? The Ika Tzad Kuna, because there's a side of being a Kohen. Avo Bas Yisrael to Yisrael, but a daughter of Yisrael to Yisrael, like, you can't do it. In other words, how could Rav Yudam Shmuel say, any prominent family, even two Yisraelim, can make the Ksuba 400, right? When the Braisa clearly says, that only if one of the two are a Kohen, either the girl is a Kohen or the boy is a Kohen, either way, you can make it more, right? If the Braisa wants to tell us anybody could do it, so why is the Braisa only telling us if one of the two sides of Kayanim can you do it? So the Braisa implies that you can't do it unless if somebody's a Kayan. So the Braisa says, no, let me buy a comment. That's not what it means. It means like this. Not only Bas Yisrael, Yisrael. Yeah? That the Limotzi, Amalei, Aliyur, Kamalinoch, the husband cannot say, I elevated you to a higher status. Avo Bas Yisrael Lukain. The Motzi Amalei, when he says, I make you even better. Amalei, I would think that you can't make the Ksuba more. Kamashma, that you could. Meaning like this. The Gemara answers, no. A Yisrael with a Yisrael could also make it more. Why does the Braisa tell us about a Bas Yisrael with a Kain? Yeah? Don't forget, the ksub is to protect the woman. So the Gemara says like this, I would think, if a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen, right? And the husband doesn't want to give her 400, he wants to give her 200. Right? He could say to her, look, I'm making you better now. You're becoming a wife of a kohen. Mm-hmm. You can eat truma. You can eat hegdish. You can eat the karbonis. Why should I give you a bigger ksuba? So the Braisa says, even then, they can make the ksuba more. But a Yisrael with a Yisrael for sure can make the ksuba more if they want.
Well, how can they make a ksuba more? She's a Yisrael. I mean, I know what the...
Well, but if he's a kohen,
so?
So the Bezdin of Kayan and made that the ksuba has to be 400 anyway.
If anything, they should make it less.
That's right.
The benefit of the man, the kohen.
No, but they wanted to say, whoever marries into a kohen family, either way, this way, that way.
Oh, it's better.
Choshev. Yeah, but the kohen, who's marrying a non-kohen girl, should be able to say, why should I give you more ksuba? As it is, I'm making you better than you were before.
Yeah.
So I don't want to give you... So the chidit, no, he still has to give her ksuba 400. Today, by the way, everybody's the same. There's no kohen shtick.
This happened tonight, does it?
No.
But in the ketubah, they write different amount?
No.
So far, they didn't do, right?
They used to. I think they stopped already. Because it got out of hand. Hmm. I mean, I heard cases that there were, you know, they got married, they fell in love, and the guy was really wealthy, and he wrote a ksuba millions of dollars. Yeah, and then they got divorced, and it was a bloody fight, and they didn't want to give it, and it was a legal document. And so I heard that Rabbonim stopped it. That's what I heard. That's it.
What's
huh?
The difference between ksuba and prenuptial? It's an agreement. No?
There's different prenuptials. There's the Torah prenuptial you're talking about, or the secular prenuptial?
Let's say both. What's
okay. If a millionaire, a billionaire, yeah, marries his 10th wife, yeah, that's what they usually do. Now, he doesn't want to give her, and he knows it'll probably be a divorce, mm-hmm. Right? So he doesn't want to give her 50% of his property.
He's only giving it to her,
right? Because it's community property, right? So if this 10th wife marries him, she's going to get 50% of whatever he has. Right? Mm-hmm. So he doesn't want to do that. So you write a prenuptial agreement that if there's a divorce, this is the X amount you're getting, and that's it. So there's no more, it's a legal document. They both sign, right? So she can't get 50% of his property.
So this is...
Or only what she brings into the marriage, you know, not what was there from before, whatever. Those are the prenuptials. Then you have the
Goyish, that's a Goyish.
Right. Then you have the Yiddish prenuptial, nothing about money. That if a bezin says she has to give a get, and she won't give a get, they have to pay $150 fine a day.
Oh, I see.
Wow. That's to convince them to give a get.
Oh, that's the prenuptial for Jewish one.
That's what they're doing today. Well, so not everybody does it, but those that do it.
Is that what they're doing today?
RCA, bezin America, that's what the modern Orthodox world is pushing it. The firm world doesn't push it yet.
The prenup that they sign up is not good?
Which one? About the get?
Yeah. No, not about the money.
Why isn't it good?
Huh?
Why isn't it good?
Oh, it's okay, happy Torah, it's okay.
Why not? Yeah?
That's
any
a
legal document you can make.
It's a civil.
He has to give her the ksuba.
Yeah, of course.
But they're not 50% of $1 billion.
Yeah, makes sense. And, he works very hard, he has all the money.
Not only that, it's usually by the older people that are very, very wealthy marrying these young girls. That are marrying them for the money, and they'll poison them to death, and you know.
You think these guys would know better?
Never.
So they make a prenuptial, that's all. But ksuba is not a prenuptial. Ksuba is a halachic obligation of a husband to the wife. It's not only, by the way, that when he dies or divorces, he gets. I mean, there's unwritten part of the ksuba also. He has to heal her and feed her and clothe her and shelter her. I mean, all these things are part of the ksuba. The ksuba is the wife's benefit, for the girl's benefit. People don't understand this. They start screaming about the ksuba, yeah? It's a male dominant. The whole ksuba is for the woman's benefit, that the husband shouldn't be able just to divorce her with nothing. That's the purpose of a ksuba.
How much they write nowadays in the ketubah?
200 zuz for psula.
How much?
And 100. It varies. It depends. A lot of money. It's not
30,000. Yeah, 30,000.
Depends. Sometimes 30,000. Whatever.
No, it's not like a set amount.
There is, but it's a machleik is what the set amount is.
But they write zuz. They don't write dollars. The same
kesef zuz. Yeah.
Nobody put dollars.
No. They keep the original text.
It doesn't mean anything.
Sure, that's a legal document.
I mean, zuz, like, imagine they added like zuz many years ago, but they don't know. So it's not fact.
The reason why today they don't collect the ksuba because they get much more in the settlement anyway. More than what the ksuba is. So it's part of the... But if people take it technically, and this you find in the very from places, they don't get civilly married. They don't make a civil marriage, right? They only have a chuppah kedushin, right? So then you have to pay the ksuba because you're not going to get anything else. You don't get a civil divorce then.
Can they do that? I heard the rabbis, they want it.
What?
See the civil getting married too.
Otherwise, yeah, but in the very firm place, they don't do it. In our circles, we do, but I'm saying there are places that don't. So then the ksuba is a valid document. Okay. Next Mishnah.
It's more Mishnah.
Yeah, don't complain.
Yeah, really don't complain.
Huh?
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of...
Okay. Anaisis Aisha.
The long one is coming.
No.
And there is another one coming.
No, there's another one coming in the next page. Yud Gimel Amud Aleph is another Mishnah.
There is one Yud Dalet Amud Beis.
But there's one in Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, whatever. Okay, next Mishnah. Okay, this is going back again. The guy marries a woman, she's not a virgin. Okay, now the fight is when did that happen? Okay, guy marries a woman and she's not a psula. He emeres misher astin and nasni. She says, I was raped after the kedushin, and therefore nischapcha sadeu. The bayis field was ruined. There's an exception, like we said, if I buy a field from you, I buy it, and I'm claiming it, I buy the field. And a day later, a flood comes and ruins my whole field. Yeah? It's my bad mazel. I can't come to you and say, hey, my field got flooded. Right? The deal was a deal. Yesterday I sold it, today the field got flooded. You can't do anything about it. Tough
this
luck.
This is between Arusin and Nisuin?
Yeah.
So the Arusin, why can't she say such a thing? Just Arusin.
She says it.
I know, but there is Arusin and Nisuin.
Right.
It's after Arusin, it's not full-fledged Nisuin, so why can't she say such a thing? Is that the period that she...
No, after Arusin, she can't be with anybody.
I know, but still...
But she says it was raped.
But she's not fully married either.
So what? But the question is, does he have to give? Can he give her a get?
I'm saying, why can't she say that your field is? He said, "Well, I'm not finalized with your."
It is finalized. She's his. She just can't live with him until the wedding, but she's all his. So she says, "Listen, I was raped after the kedushin, and it's your tough luck." And he says, "No, actually, esticha." You were violated before we did the kedushin. Well, you mechatoyes, and it was a bum deal, a deal in error, right? And he says, now we're going to see in the Gemara. And this is very important to understand. Now, how does he know? He has no proof. If he has proof, what's the question? Okay?
She knows.
She said, I know what happened to my body.
How do we trust her, though?
1 minute. The Gemara is going to go into a whole Gemara, which is fundamental in Shas. Bari v'shema. Definite versus doubt. Okay? Which one's better? Right? I see you owe me $100, you say, I don't know. So obviously my complaint is better than yours. Is that good enough to extract money? We'll see in the Gemara. But over here, and this is why it's important to understand this now, before we get into the Gemara. He said, the guy marries the girl. She's not a psula. Okay? So he says, what's this? She said, listen, after the kiddush, I was raped. I was violated. So it's your bad mazel. You know, tough luck. You want to divorce me? You could divorce me, but you have to give me a full ksuba. It's not my fault. Right? And he says, no. It happened maybe before. He can't know when it happened. She knows. She can know when it happens. Right? She might be lying, but she can know when it happened. He cannot know when it happened. So he says, listen, there's no ksuba here. I don't want to pay you anything. Right?
Ksuba is after Kiddushin.
After Kiddushin is already a ksuba.
But after Arusin...
But he says, you were not a psula at the time of Kiddushin. And I thought I'm doing Kiddushin with a psula. So it's a mistaken ksuba, so you don't get any ksuba. It was a mistaken Kiddushin, so you're not going to get any ksuba.
What is his proof?
He doesn't have.
Just claim.
He said, maybe. That's what he said. Maybe it happened before.
He looks like he knows.
So Rashi says he can't say he for sure knew. How could he know? If he proves it, then for sure he's right. Right? If she proves it, then she's right.
Nobody can prove it.
How can you prove it? Well, if anybody, she could prove it.
So Kesuva is not at the time of Erusin. At the time of Nisuin, you write the Kesuva.
No.
No,
what? Time of Erusin.
Oh, Kisui has talked about everything? Yeah. So he doesn't have any claim whatsoever.
He says maybe it happened before.
Yeah, he says that. But he's still obligated to pay the Kisuha because it's already written.
Well, 1 second, okay. Let's take this time because the Gemara is relevant to the Gemara. Who wants to get money from whom?
She wants to extract money.
She wants to extract the Kisuha from him?
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if I say... You owe me $100. And you say, I don't know. Does that automatically mean I can get the money? There's no proof.
Palga?
I say, you owe me $100. Yeah, but that's when the guy said, maybe. That's when the maybe, when the guy says, I don't owe you for sure. But if he says, I don't know, doesn't that weaken his position?
So she has to take a shvuah.
You never take a shvuah to take money. You only make a shvuah to get out of money.
You do something.
Exceptional cases. But kolin nishbarin, nishbarin v'niftarin. You don't take. So this is what the Mishnah is dealing with. Okay, so even, I'm going through this now because it's very relevant in the Gemara. But the bottom line is, she seems to say for sure when it happened. She's bari. That it happened after I was Kedushin, I was raped. She's saying, I don't know when it happened. Maybe if she was raped, she was raped. She has to know when she was raped. She's bari. She's for sure. Bari means certain. Shama means maybe. He says, maybe it happened before. So what's the halacha? Let's see. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer Eimirim. Rabbi Eliezer and Gamliel say, what's the din? Nemenah, she's believed. Okay? Meaning, by the way, because body is better than Shema. Definite. She's definite. He's doubtful. So Rabbi Eliezer and Gamliel say, she's believed. Because he doesn't know.
Why don't you say maybe she has her eye on somebody?
Wait a minute.
We had the concept before.
What does that have to do with the ksuba?
Meaning that she's...
One second. Rabbi Yeshua Amar, lay mi pia anu chayim. We don't live by her mouth. Meaning she's not believed. El arei zeh cheskes ba'ula. we assume that she was non-virgin actually to Sardis before the Kedushin, and she tricked him, unless if she can prove that she was raped afterwards. Why? What does that mean? What does Rabbi Yeshua hold? Hameitzim b'chaveira ol haraya. Even by Bari and Shema. In other words, the way the Gemara is going to learn the argument, and the way we're going to learn it now, is the argument is poshut. Bari v'shama, who's better to extract money? She says, for sure it happened later, therefore give me the money.
Before.
After.
No, after.
She said after the Kedushin it happened, so she says, give me the money for the Ksuba. He says, I don't know, maybe it happened before. So Rabbi Elazar and Gamliel hold, her position is stronger than his. She's definite, he's doubtful, correct? So he has to pay the money. Rabbi Yeshua said, oh, hold on. He says, we don't live from her, meaning we don't believe her. Again, not that she's for sure a liar. Maybe she's lying. Maybe she's lying. And therefore, to extract money from the husband, the fact that he says, I don't know, is not a strong enough reason to make him pay.
That's Rabbi Yeshua.
That's Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. The upcoming Gemara is very interesting, very basic in halacha. I mean, in the Gemara about what's called Bari V'Shem Bari Yodif.
What is the Harizah B'Cheskat Ba'ula?
So she says, he says, now she's Ba'ula, correct? Now she's not a virgin?
Mm-hmm.
Then we assume from the beginning she's not a virgin. Meaning from before the Kedushin. Unless if she could prove that it happened afterwards. If she could prove it happened afterwards, yeah, then she's right.
And then we go to Mafreya backward and we correct it.
And as Rabbi Shua says, right now she's a Ba'ula, she's not a virgin, then we have to assume that she was not a virgin from before.
Before. Then meaning the husband is right.
Right.
So they're both Bari, so...
No, they're not Bari. She's Bari, he's Shema. The question is, can Bari extract money from a Shema? To speak in practical language, I say, you owe me $1,000, and you say, I'm not sure, I don't know. Can I collect the money or not?
I know, but the Gemara is saying that he becomes Bari, and she's Bari, and he's
not,
Bari.
The Gemara doesn't
so
say
they
he's
cancel
Bari.
Out and
no, the Gemara doesn't say he's Bari.
You said, because she's Bechazkat Be'ula, and he said she was Be'ula also.
She's assumed to be Be'ula, we don't know. There's an assumption.
She says Bechazkat Be'ula, does it?
Chazka means presumed that she was a... We don't know for
sure.
Is that
the Chazaka that she
is? Chazaka is not definite. Chazaka is we assume that that's what it is.
Oh.
This halakha doesn't apply nowadays?
Sure does.
Can
with what? No,
it happened like
no, because today the Kedushin and Nitzun are done at the same time.
There's no time for
hanky-panky. There's no time. Under the chuppah you do the Kedushin, you read the Ksuba, and you right away.
No, I say I thought I'm marrying Betula, and she's not Betula. That's another before.
Oh, he's
I
saying.
I thought I was under assumption I'm marrying Betula, but she's not Betula. Can you claim this or no?
Not today, not
no, you
not
cannot claim such a thing. Why not?
Because the truth is, most girls today are not psuas.
But like 100 years ago, it was more.
Then maybe it was a tainer.
Nowadays, no tainer.
Yeah, but that's only if he comes along that she's not a psula. That's only if she comes along later and says she's not a psula.
Oh, they do ask you this question?
Most girls are not
psula. Yeah, today it's not.
Most secular girls are not psula. Most religious girls are.
Right. But the whole thing is a question of Bari V'Shama. That's the whole thing. Mendel, who's coming to get him?
I'm taking him.
Oh, okay.
So how do you decide who is Bari, who is Shema?
In this case, she's Bari.
No, in general.
I tell you, if I come to you, I say, you owe me $1,000. I don't say, I think you owe me $1,000. If I say, I think you owe me $100, $1,000, and you say, I don't think so. I mean,
Shema v'shema.
That's worthless. But I come to you in Besden, not Stam in the street, yeah? I say, you owe me $1,000. I'm certain, I have no proof, but I'm certain you owe me $100. And you say, I don't know, I don't remember. But Taisus is going to say, by the way, when we see in the Gemara, the Shema is in the case when he says, I don't remember if I ever borrowed the money from you. Well, see, the Taisus is in the Gemara, not in the Mishnah. Okay? If I come to you and say, you owe me $1,000. I lent you $1,000. Yeah? And you say, yeah, I lent the money, I borrowed the money from you, but I don't remember if I paid. Then you have to pay. Because I'm already admitting.
What about mixer?
No, it's not made a mix. I admit that I owed you the money. Mm-hmm. Now the question, did I or didn't I? So Taisa says, when you're talking about Bari Vashema, the case of the Gemara is when the guy says, I don't remember if I ever borrowed the money from you. But if a guy says, I remember borrowing the money from you, I don't remember if I paid, Taisa says, that's not the case of Bari Vashema that the Gemara is going to be talking about. Because that what Taisa says, we'll see. Maybe other Rishonim disagree, but it's a big difference. If I lend you money, I don't remember if you paid, you didn't pay, okay? And I say, you know, you owe me $100, and you say, I don't remember. I think I paid you. Then Taisa says you'd have to pay.
But if you say I don't remember,
I don't remember that I borrowed the money from you.
That's the real Shema.
That's a Shema.
If I don't remember if I paid you, then you have to pay.
Right, because you're admitting that I did owe you the money. Mm. So now the suffix is, did you pay? But here the suffix is on the whole thing. Was there ever an obligation to pay?
That's where is the Shavua also, in that case. Because
he's extracting. Taisa quotes in Gemara and Geizel, the last in the Bava Kamma. It says, "Ainu yodei in peraticha." About the Taisa says the Gemara is over there chayiv. The Mishnah says you chayiv to pay.
But he has to take his shavua also, yeah,
to extract money.
He's extracting money. You see, the guy says, "I don't remember if I paid you," so. The other guy,
I don't know if he has to swear. That's the difference. But right now, the Gemara is learning this machlekes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer that say the woman is believed because they say Bari Veshama, Bari Adif, Bari can extract the money. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, Bari Veshama is still not enough. It's not powerful enough to extract the money.
Well,
that's not how it is. That's the way we're going to, the Gemara learns the Mishnah. Okay.